And there's a ground ball towards the middle. Diving stab by Wong. There's one. Throw to first. Not in time. Boy, that was set up to be a spectacular play. The fact the Brewers got one was great enough.
Good morning, everybody. I'm Bart Winkler. That's Toby Altizer. Good morning. Lakeland University Studios is where we reside. It is a Wendy's What's for Breakfast Hour here on The Fan. You can get the hot honey chicken biscuit combo. You can get the breakfast baconator combo. Get these combos with Frosty Chinos is what I like to do. You could also get it with potato wedges, or as we call it around here, a side of Toby. But only we really call it that. Wendy's doesn't call it that. We just call it that. Tim Shea, also of the show, he calls it that. He tried to order a side of Toby's at Wendy's a couple of days ago.
Hi, may I take your order, please?
Yeah, can I get a number 4, please? Can I get that with a side of Toby?
I'm sorry, what was that?
Yeah, can I get a number 4 with the side of Toby?
Side of what?
Toby.
He eventually got the side of Toby, the potato wedges. So good on Tim. He'll be here tomorrow. You're on the Rami show tomorrow, I think. Toby doing the afternoon thing again as we keep bouncing around a little bit here in the summertime. 414-799-1250. 414-799-1250. Again, the Brewers, defense and pitching. That's going to help when you only have 4 hits and 2 runs. But that's all that was needed for the crew yesterday. A really good performance out of Aaron Ashby, 5 2/3, gave up 1 earned. No earned, actually. Gave up a run, no earned. There was an error, but gave up 4 hits. That's it, 5 strikeouts. 91 pitches, the most he's thrown this season. A 2.91 ERA on the season for him. Luis Perdomo comes in, Boxberger comes in, and Devin Williams comes in for his 4th save of the season. Devin Williams, who, you know, he's the 8th inning guy, and he's had some rough outings this season. A couple early, and then another one against the Reds. But since that Reds game, back on the 10th, he's only allowed 3 hits across 7 appearances. And he has not walked anybody. And he has not allowed any earned runs. So when you've got Devin Williams that's a bit shaky, it's like, okay, even in some of those games where he wasn't allowing runs, he was putting guys on. You know, the first few starts of the year for him, or appearances of the year for him, were a little rough. But he has picked it up, and he has picked it up at the perfect time because Hader's away from the team for a little bit, and the Brewers need Devin Williams, and they needed him 3 days in a row. It was a question of whether they were going to go to him again yesterday in the 9th inning, but they did, and it paid off as he got out of that, and the Brewers get out of San Diego, winning the series, winning 2 out of 3 in that contest. So, huge. I mean, this is a team right now. They're without Hader, as I mentioned. They're without Adames, who is, you know, he's taking grounders. He's in the batting cage. Doesn't look like he'll be activated in the St. Louis series. But we should expect him back pretty soon. But they're without him right now. Hunter Renfroe on this trip goes on the injured list. So even with all of this, all of these obstacles that they've got in front of them, they were able to scratch and claw to a series victory. Again, these games were tight. There were not a lot of runs. Good pitching on both sides. A lot of these games, you know, were 0-0, 1-0 through 5-6 innings before the team started to play a couple. But big outing yesterday for the Brewers and a big outing yesterday for Ashby. I think that ends up being pretty important. That's what you want to see. How big is a win in the beginning of the season? You know, how massive is a win in the beginning of the season? I don't know. What I do know is that winning breeds more winning, and to build a culture where you're winning games and to know that you don't need to score 8 runs in a game to win a baseball game. You know that, you know, your pitchers are keeping you in it. You don't want to put too much pressure on your pitchers. You can't win every game 2-1 or 4-2 or whatever. You got to score runs at some point. Definitely you'll need to in the playoffs. That's the problem. That's why we're here. They didn't score enough against the Braves, and it cost them. But to see them do this with the adversity, to have guys step up, Devin Williams, of course, 3 days in a row, probably unavailable today against the Cardinals, but 3 days in a row, come in for the ninth inning. Tyrone Taylor, six RBI in this series. He's been cranking bombs. Almost had another one yesterday. You know, this has been a big, it's a big like measuring stick series sometimes. You know, yeah, there wouldn't have been any moral victories here. There's real victories. We went into San Diego, started a road trip, lost the first one, won the next two, and we did it without some of our really heavy hitters. So really good to see the Brewers do that yesterday as they get the 2-1 win over the San Diego Padres. They will now go to St. Louis. They will take on the Redbirds for a four-game series. We've got on the hill tonight, Eric Lauer misses the Padres, his former team. He will be up against Adam Wainwright tonight, who's been pitching very well. This is probably the end of the road for Wainwright, but he's got an ERA under 3. Woodruff and Hudson tomorrow, Hauser and Matthew Liberatore. And then Miles Michaelis will go on Sunday, and I'm not sure if the Brewers are going to go Burns yet or if they call up Ethan Small or what, because Burns would probably be on shorter rest there with the injury to Peralta. So we'll see how it shakes out for Sunday. Council after the game, after the series, you know, pretty obviously in good spirits. They lose that first one, but they win the next two. Council afterwards.
Devin's at the top of this, obviously. What can you say just about the relief work you got in general in this series with Josh now?
Yeah, I mean that's what you kind of the unit does is that they pick each other up, and you know, we're missing Josh, and a lot of guys delivered some great stuff today. It was you know, Louis Perdomo got four outs for us. You know, did it really well. Went through the top of their order in the seventh, and then Box had a great inning, and then Devin, you know, on 3 days in a row. You know, closed it out with just a bunch of good pitches, just kind of kept making pitches.
What were those conversations like, just because he hasn't done that for his big league?
We talked early in the day, and you know, he said he felt good. I said, well, then we'll take it to the next step and go through your throwing program, and he got more convicted after his throwing program, and today was a good day to go for it, and it worked out well.
Did his efficiency last night too? Just 12 pitches.
Yeah, that absolutely. I think you know, when you're doing something that probably he hasn't done, you're going to look at everything. So it's part of it.
What can you say about the job Perdomo's done this year? I mean, this was kind of his first real big test, but he's been in a variety of spots for you.
Yeah, no, I mean, he's, you know, Louis, he's doing what we expected, and that's keep the ball on the ground. You know, we got an incredible play that inning. But he's putting the ball on the ground, and that's that. You know, we get outs, and there's double plays there, and he did what we expect him to do.
Your impressions of Ashby, you know, moving into the rotation today?
Well, he's pitched out of the road. This is the good Aaron Ashby. It's we've seen this before this year, and you know, I thought he was in control. He had that hit a little. What, I don't know what inning was it in the third that he lost a little bit of a command for a couple hitters, but other than that, it was really good stuff, and you know, he had every pitch working.
Do you think he's excited to get a series of starts, or do you think he legitimately is like, whatever you want, I'll do?
I mean, I think you can ask him that. I'm sure.
Well, he's going to tell us whatever you want. He's going to tell us whatever they want.
Yeah,
to
I
do,
mean,
do.
I think, you know, I mean, I think what Aaron is trying to do is get better, and just continue to get better, and he is getting better, and he's going to continue to get better. I know what we've done with him has been very consistent so far, and we'll continue to be consistent with him, and I think that's a good way to help him get better.
How have you seen him grow from last year to this year?
It's just experience, I think. It's just the work being consistent, the throwing program being consistent, to make your body go out there on the field and be consistent.
To push him to 91 pitches too, is that really encouraging just for what you're going to ask of him moving forward?
Yeah, I mean, I mean he's very fresh, you know, and so I think he could have, frankly, gone more today, but I think we've gotten him to a really good spot, and you feel like you can just treat him as a regular starter from this point forward.
Thanks. after that pair of walks, and he was in the third, and to fall behind 3-0 to Hosmer and then come back all the way with that, yeah, that curveball, what does that say about, you know, just where he's at to be able to battle back like that?
Well, I mean, as much as anything, it's, you know, when you get behind 3-0, it's just not kind of giving up and giving in to what's going on. It's continuing to just try to make pitches and realizing you can get back in the at-bat quickly. He got back in the at-bat and made a big pitch to get out of the inning.
So that's great counsel afterwards. Brewers, again, get the win over the Padres. Now they've got a 4-game set against the Cardinals, and then they go to Chicago, and there is a doubleheader on Monday. And that's another 4-game series. They're then back home against the Padres. So if you want more of what you saw and you want to see it in person, that'll be the series the first weekend of June. And then they have an off day, actually. Off 3 Mondays in June. So there are some days to build around, which will help them as they, you know, work with the pitching staff now that they're without Freddy Peralta. That's where the injury is going to come into play a little bit, this Freddy Peralta injury, because they have been going with a 6-man or a 5.5-man rotation, and it would have worked out very well for this weekend, as that doubleheader does kind of loom large over what you're going to do with the pitching staff. So I mentioned Lauer tonight, Woodruff Friday, Hauser Saturday. It would line up for Burns on Sunday, but on the day of a doubleheader, you get another guy to come up. You got to assume that's Ethan Small. You got to assume that's going to be a pitcher. Or, I mean, they could dig into, like, Josh Lindblom one of these days and say, hey, just eat some innings for us. Remember Josh Lindblom? He's still part of this organization. But Burns, what you want on the doubleheader is you don't want it to be 2 bullpen games. So you don't want it to be like, hey, Ethan Small, you go out there, cross our fingers. Oh, no, it's not going well. And then the next game is, hey, here's another guy like Josh Lindblom. You want one of the guys that can go 6 or 7 in those games. So, because you got to play 2 games in a day. So you would maybe prefer to have Burns on Monday, let him rest and then go on Monday. So that's why Sunday's spot is yet to be announced. And we'll see what happens there. So a little bit of intrigue into how the Brewers line this up. But it is an interesting series. I think earlier in the week, we started to freak out that the Brewers might not be in first place by the end of the weekend. They are 3.5 up on the Cardinals right now. So if the Cardinals sweep, they're in first place. But they're 3.5 up on the Cardinals. I just wonder, I think there'll be a little more attention to the Brewers this weekend. Obviously, the last couple of days, the times weren't great. They're at 9:00 at night and then 3 in the afternoon when you're at work or making dinner or whatever. But now you've got some primetime games Thursday, Friday night. You got a Saturday afternoon game on a 3-day weekend for most people. You got a Sunday afternoon game like normal, and it's against the Cardinals. And I think there's going to be a lot of attention on these games as a big series here. You know, maybe it's like the official start of summer for people with Memorial Day. Maybe it's the official start of, all right, let me start to look at the Brewers now. You know, the NBA playoffs and the Bucks are done, and the draft came and went, and there's all these other distractions, and now I'm going to really focus on the Brewers. And so this is like the series to kick that off, and it's a big one. It's against the Cardinals. Again, you play these guys 19 times. I'm going to be interested to see how people react over the next few days. Like, do we magnify these games? At what point do we start thinking these are the games that matter more than others? Because if you look at it, this NL Central race, I do think the Brewers, they're 3.5 up now. I'm fairly confident they don't get swept this weekend. It's hard to get swept when you have this kind of pitching. Could happen. I'm going to bet it doesn't. So you'll still be in first place. I think they go wire to wire the rest of the way in the Central. The pitching's too good. And even a game like yesterday, should they have won? They had 4 hits. You know, they had 2 runs. You know, they had good defense and they had good pitching. That's kind of how they built this thing. That's kind of what they wanted when they, you know, signed the Colton Wong's of the world, you know, last couple seasons, signing these guys to come and help them defensively. So then you can also look at, well, I mean, do we want to buy? At what point do baseball fans start looking at wanting a buy? At what point do baseball fans start realizing there is a buy to want this year? The first and second seed get a buy, and then the other seeds, 3, 4, 5, 6, there's another wild card team that makes it. They play each other in a 3-game set. So right now, the Brewers would be, I think they would be tied. They would be tied for the 2 seed right now. Dodgers are the 1. Brewers and the Mets have a similar record, 29-17 and 28-16. So they're kind of jockeying for that. I just don't know, Toby. I don't know how important a bye is going to be. I don't know that we know. I don't know that we even know how to start to process that there is a bye in baseball. It doesn't seem like that's even a thing, but we'll learn about it eventually. I just again, kind of what I've been looking at here this last month is, you know, Tim Allen of our postgame show, every game is the biggest of the season. And I agree, all these games count the same. But at what point do we start putting a little more into each of these games? Like tonight, how big really is tonight? It's bigger than a normal game, but how big is tonight is kind of what I wonder.
Yeah, I don't know that I would actually want a bye, if we're being entirely honest. You don't want your bats to go cold as if the Brewers need any help with losing more offense. So I don't know that I would want that, but I've talked about this with Tim. I do kind of think the Brewers, like you said, wire to wire in the division, I think that's probably going to be the case. I think the Brewers have to set their sights a little higher than just winning the Central. I think it does need to be on getting one of these top seeds in the National League, because it gives you incentive when you play a team like the Chicago Cubs or the Cincinnati Reds or the Pittsburgh Pirates, who are obviously in the division, and you're going to have to play them multiple times. The goal is no longer going into a series just trying to win a series. It's, let's see if I can sweep this series. Let's see if I can get more out of this than just, you know, winning two out of three. Let's see if I can get all of them. And I think it would add something to the season so that you're not running into the same sort of scenario that you did last year where, all right, we've wrapped the division up essentially. We haven't formally done it yet, but we know we've done it. So let's start resting our guys. And I think that caused them to get out of a little bit of a rhythm. So then going into the postseason, they weren't rolling. So I think this year, if you could have a little bit higher expectation than just winning the division, it can give you that extra incentive going into the end of the season to still be motivated, to still have something to play for, and then in turn, hopefully that translates into the bats actually showing up in the playoffs.
To say you don't want to buy seems like a weird thing to say, right?
It doesn't for baseball. For every other sport, it would make sense, but with baseball, it's played every single day, and then you're going to give me 4 days off or whatever the case may be, and that's fine. It's good for my pitching staff. It's not good for my hitting, because you cannot replicate in-game pitching.
Yeah, that's why I don't know what... Having a bye puts you into the next round of the playoffs. Duh. So there's going to be the wild card, the divisional round, and then the championship round in the National League. So having a bye is like, yeah, we want a bye. We don't have to play that round. We're already here. But what if not having a bye helps you win that divisional round series? Because that's what happened with the Braves. The Braves had that last week of the season where they were more like competitive. It had to be a little more competitive for them. The Brewers coasted. I think that's what we think about. We look at the last week of the season last year kind of as a bye. They were resting guys, the bats got cold, and then they play a quick five-game series, and it's over. Baseball, the playoffs in baseball have kind of set themselves up, because baseball is so different, that not playing for a few days, I mean, that can really hurt you. That can really take you out of your rhythm. You know, it might mess up you could have a pitcher not go for, I mean, like 8 days now. Instead of just five. All right, now here's 3 more days of rest. It throws them out of their rhythm. It throws them out of, you know, what they do in between that. So we don't know how a bye is going to affect baseball yet. It could be very beneficial, or it could be not. I tend to think the way the wild card was set up that, yes, one team is going to lose that wild card. So it's like, you know, a double-edged kind of situation, or flip a coin. Look at 2019. Brewers were in the wild card game. They lost. So obviously they would have rather not had the wild card. But for the Nationals, it helped propel them. So it's either like you're going to be propelled into the World Series, or as far as you can go, or you're going to be out. And it's like, you know, pick your poison. It just seems like in baseball, the last thing you want to do is not play for a large chunk of time. You don't want to have a bunch of time off. You don't want to have the division wrapped up and everything wrapped up 2 weeks into the season, because then you do kind of slow down. Whether you try to or not, you do kind of slow down, and then it's hard to just turn that back on. So, I think that's going to be interesting to watch. We will root for the bye. We will root for the bye. Rooting for the bye seems – it works in other sports. Rooting for the bye – Packers, maybe not. Titans, yikes. Rooting for the bye seems to be what we want. We're going to want the bye. We're going to play for the bye because you don't want to lose in that first round either. I just – we don't know yet. We don't know how it impacts baseball teams that have the bye and that win when they don't have the bye. The risk is you might lose that series. The reward is you kind of maybe get an advantage over the other team if you've been playing baseball a few more days. So that's going to be interesting to see. But the Brewers are playing very well. Again, kudos to Devin Williams, who came in scoreless ninth in each of the games this week, pitched three straight games, got the two saves the last two games, has to be unavailable today. Not sure if Hader will return to the team yet. It's, you know, take your time. Whenever he's ready to come back, the Brewers will take him back. But in the meantime, we'll see what they're able to do out of that ninth inning situation should it come to it. Devin Williams with Sophia last night.
Devin, a great series win. Back-to-back saves for you. Your fourth save over here on the season. And your first time in your career, you're going three straight days. What did you feel physically today coming in to know that you would be available for the situation today?
Brother's gone. I got to fill in. You know, it's my job now that he's not here, and I'm glad I was able to get it done.
How did the previous two appearances help you just be ready for today, knowing this lineup and matching up with them?
Yeah, I'm familiar with those guys, especially Trent. I faced him a lot when he was over with us, you know, in the minor leagues, on the backfields and things like that. So that helped. But, just the consistent work keeps me locked in.
Devin, overall, the fastball and the changeup, how have you been able to use those two pitches and just keep hitters off balance? It feels like these hitters, they can't sit on either pitch right now.
Yeah, that's the goal, is not to be predictable. I feel like people have started to sit on the change more, so I've had to use the fastball more, and, you know, I've been executing, so it's been working well.
Devin, this was a tough way to start the road trip, right? With all the injuries, you're without Josh Hader, you lose Hunter Renfroe, you get walked off Monday night, but to come back and win the series and back-to-back days for you, what does that mean for this team?
It's just a testament to our team. One guy goes out, or the other guy fills in. You know, it's a long season, and we're probably going to have to do some more of that, and I think we're ready for it.
So great for Devin Williams. One more thing on these buys. This is what I'm going to say. If the Brewers get a buy and they lose that series, what are people going to say? You're all going to call up and you're going to say, I wish we didn't have the bye. You're going to say, it would have been better off if we just didn't have the bye, if we would have been the 3 seed, won the Central, let the Mets have the 2. So I'm telling you what people will say in the future. And that's why I think that is an interesting thing to watch as the year progresses. 414-799-1250. I'm Bart. That's Toby. This is a jam.
Woo! All right. I used to hand wash my car. In bubbles, it would drown. But I couldn't take those calluses and had to settle down. Now I go to scrub it up and I use the scrub it up scrub club. It's really hard to say, but so easy to use. I'm telling everyone I know, it's hip to scrub it up at the scrub a dub scrub club. Now Bart knows this in his fancy suit. Listen on the radio, and he tells me Scrub-a-Dub Scrub Club is the only way to go. Toby, my man, don't you agree? At just $13 a month, you can wash your car every day if you choose. Visit Scrub-a-Dub.biz. It's hip to Scrub-a-Dub. So hip to Scrub-a-Dub. Scrub it up. It's hip to scrub it up. All right.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced. Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Don't look past them. Don't believe, what you guys say on TV that, we're going to championship. Because this is far from over. And, I think we talked about it. We just went into Milwaukee and won a, very big game six. Know that it's possible. And, like we came with the mindset tonight that it was must-win game, that we need to carry that over. Going to Friday, like we down 3-2. This is a great team, well coached. They're not going to give up. It's not going to be easy. I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be a challenge, but it's going to be fun.
That's Jason Tatum last night after the Celtics beat the Miami Heat. They beat the Heat 93-80. Third quarter kind of got out of hand. It felt like, and I don't know if you guys have finally decided you're going to watch some of these. If you haven't, you're not missing much. These Eastern Conference and Western Conference playoffs, they've really not been that good. Last night felt like Celtics-Bucks. It felt like one of the later games in the series, Game 6 or Game 7, where the Celtics, when they needed to, they were making everything. And the Heat just couldn't make a thing. And 80 points, 93-80 was the final score in an NBA game in 2022. You don't see that too often. But the defense, the Celtics defense is very good. Now, Jason Tatum's not going to say the series is over. Kevin O'Connor of the Ringer, I believe, he says it's over. He says the series is over. No way the Heat win two in a row. Not enough firepower. Too many injured guys. Lowry looks hurt or washed. Celtics defense is insane. Tatum and Brown have figured it out. It's done. It looks that way, but again, the NBA playoffs, I would caution you to ever think something's done. We thought we were going to the ECF after we were up 3-2, did we not? Didn't happen. How many times did it happen last year? Nets, there's no way the Bucks are going to win 4-5. They did. Suns, no way the Bucks are going to win 4-5. They went 4-4. Just in the NBA playoffs, please remember, even when a series looks over, it is far from over, except for Warriors. That series was done after one. They're back in Golden State tonight for Game 5. But the Celtics-Heat series last night, Brown was huge. Big third quarter for them. They outscored the Heat 32-16. Brown had 25, Jaylen did. Tatum with 22. Man, the Heat really struggled. Butler was 4 of 18. I don't know if he's right. Kyle Lowry... O'Connor's right about that. Lowry looks like a mess. Lowry was 0 for 6, and Max Strus was 0 for 9. Still without Tyler Hero. My guy Duncan Robinson did get in there. He was 4 of 12. He's not really my guy. Maybe Nick Kostas is right. I thought the NBA playoffs were good, and then they kind of slowed down in this round. But looking back at him, maybe the whole playoffs have been not that great. Yeah, the Phoenix Pelicans series was good. Mavs Jazz series was interesting.
The Bucks Celtics series is an interesting one because all of the games seem like they were good, but then you go look at some of the final scores and that wasn't necessarily always the case.
No, but that was probably the best series so far.
Oh, without a doubt.
It's one of two that wins seven. Dallas Phoenix was pretty good, but then Dallas just destroyed Phoenix at home in Game 7.
Even though it was a sweep, Boston and Brooklyn was actually a good series, too.
Yeah, that was competitive. That was interesting. But yeah, maybe the playoffs have not been as good as I thought they have. And this Eastern Conference and Western Conference Finals, I mean, the margin of victory is like 10-plus.
I don't think I've watched a minute of the Eastern Conference Finals.
I finally watched not a minute of the Eastern Conference Finals last night. I turned it off with a minute to go. They brought in Omar Yurtseven or whatever his name is, and I was like, okay, all right, I will turn it off. I will go to bed. But, yeah, I expect Golden State to win tonight, and you would think Boston's going to win tomorrow, but I mean, I don't know what to expect. Miami went in there already and had a huge win, but Miami does kind of look like they're a little bit fatigued. Boston does seem to be a team that's more complete, hitting on more cylinders, have more guys that can score. If Butler's not scoring, who's scoring? That's a crazy thing about the Heat. Like, who actually is a scorer on that team?
Well, and I know you hate their Heat culture and everything, and you can get frustrated by that, but I think it does go to this needs to be a credit to how good of a coach and at building that kind of culture Eric Spoelstra is, because you're right. I mean, Joel Embiid's tweeting about the game last night saying the Heat need another star. And I don't think
Sixers fans are concerned that he means them. He means him.
He's not wrong, though. Like, if you look at that Miami Heat team against this Boston Celtics team, of course, if you're just looking at it on paper, you're going to take the Celtics. But Eric Spoelstra does a really good job of having that team ready to go. And I think he's one of the best, if not the best head coach there is in the league, because he just consistently gets so much out of his guys that they overachieve consistently. I mean, this Heat team's not that good. They're not. On paper, they're not that good. But they were the one seed in the East, and they're at least giving a little bit of resistance to the Celtics team that, you know, the best two teams in the East, in my opinion, were the Bucks and the Celtics. Whoever won that series, I felt was going to go on to the finals. But they're giving them a little bit of a run for their money, but they're kind of up against it now that the Celtics have kind of figured it out.
He did a 5-point lead at halftime. It was 42-37. So if the Heat could have kept the game like that, but then the problem is they don't have the offensive firepower to match the Celtics. And that's why if you look at what Mavs fans are bummed about is, hey, we're in a series where we maybe have the best player in the series, second best at worst in Luka, but then we don't have who's the next, like, our second best guy. If it's Jalen Brunson, is he the sixth best in the series? Is he the seventh best? I mean, because there's been a bunch of Golden State Warriors that have been the best in that series. With the Heat, you could throw Jimmy Butler, but you'd probably go Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown, Jimmy Butler, and then who's the next best player in the series? It should be Bam, and he had that big night. We talked last week, oh, Bam, this is your time to step up. He's not stepping up, and then he stepped up, but then he's gone right back to being the underachieving, underperforming Bam Adebayo that he's been. So maybe the next best player, maybe it's Marcus Smart. Maybe it's Derek White. He's been having a great series. Maybe it's Al Horford. You know, maybe that's the Heat's second best player, Tyler Hero. He's barely been playing in the series. So, you know, what do you look at it there? So it should be, it's likely going to be Celtics-Warriors. Nothing's set in stone yet. But I think Celtics-Warriors is probably going to be a more competitive series than Warriors-Heat would be. Because, if you can't match the firepower of the Celtics, you're not going to match the firepower of the Warriors.
Yeah, and I kind of think that the Celtics would win that series. I know you'll disagree, but maybe we'll have to put a friendly wager on that.
You think the Celtics will beat Golden State?
Yeah.
No, I would put a very friendly wager on it. I would put, like, the friendliest of friendly wagers.
I've gone all over the place with this because I've picked either Bucks or Celtics out of that series to win. And then I was kind of feeling like the Warriors. I don't know, man. I think I'm going to stick with my guns. I think Celtics are going to win it.
I can't even see it. I can't even see it happening.
Well, just wait till you see it in six games in the NBA.
Oh, God, I can't. I'm going to have to root. Because I'm rooting against the Celtics now, but it's also like, nah.
I don't know if I want to do that to myself, though, having to cheer for the Celtics for whatever the wager may be.
Yeah, I mean, I would wager, like, what's the friendliest wager we can have before it gets, like, unfriendly? Like a week of breakfast? Or, like, I don't even know.
A week off.
A week off. Me do the podcast for a week. I will never bet that.
The Rami special and take 2 weeks off.
Yeah. Didn't I tell you I'm taking all of June off, the whole month?
Yeah.
I'm just not going to be here in June.
We go in Alabama?
I'm going to go to Alabama, and then I'm going to go to California, and then I'm going to go to Alaska. I'm doing an Alaskan cruise. I'm actually going on Bezos' rocket.
That'll be space.
Yeah, that'll be my Father's Day gift.
You're going everywhere.
Yeah, here, there, everywhere. No, I'm just kidding. I'll obviously be here. No, I'm very confident the Warriors beat Boston.
I think it'd be a fun series to watch.
The Warriors probably sweep the Heat.
Oh, without a doubt.
But I think the Cavs teams that the Warriors faced are better than the Celtics team.
So then just flip side, Mavs, Heat. No chance it happens, but...
Heat?
Yeah. What do the Mavs stack up against the Heat?
Well, the Mavs are better than the Heat.
Well, and that's kind of where I'm at, and the Warriors are kind of making, you know, they're having it pretty easy against the
Mavs. Have guys that can see nobody can score for the Heat. They need Jimmy Butler to play perfect or great, and then they need Bam to not. I mean, Bam was 8 of 15 last night at 10 boards, but you know, you watch the game, he's not contributing. He's not taking over when they need him to. Kyle Lowry doesn't look like he even. He looks like he wants to be there. It looks like he knows he can't be there. Max Strus, I mean, they let this guy shoot 9 times. Terrible. They're relying on like Cody Martin or Caleb Martin. I'm not even sure which Martin it is. Caleb. It's like when the Bucks were relying on Grayson Allen. See, we ran out of shooters too. We ran out of guys that could score too against the Celtics. And so that's how the Celtics are winning. That's not going to be how Golden State presents itself.
They're still a really good defensive team.
Oh, yeah. I just think that the Warriors have too many weapons. And now you're also getting like, you have Steph, Klay, and Draymond. Pretty good, right? But now you're getting the best version of Andrew Wiggins that has ever existed. The best version of Kevon Looney that's ever existed. Jordan Poole's playing well when he's not picking up 4 fouls and a half. He's been killing me in the old DK, the old DFS. Spark Guy, 414-799-1250, what's up?
Hey, dude. I think $20 is the limit. You guys are talking about what's the limit of a friendly wager. I think regardless of where you are in life, I feel like anything above 20 is where it gets
No,
nice.
I think money crosses the line. I think it's got to be like, I'll do this. Like, I'll, I don't know. I think money crosses the line where it's no longer friendly.
I think it's interesting, though, because I actually do think there's effectively a reason for that, like, a long time ago, because, like, it was kind of hard to get action. You know, like, 25, 30 years ago, I had, like, for football parlay sheets or just had a guy, but you couldn't really actively wager. So, yeah, you'd almost line it up. Be like, you think the opposite of me, let's wager because I want to wager. Now, you can wager anywhere. You can just bet wherever you want. So now it's just more of, like, just sticking it in somebody's face. You know what I mean? Like, if you're going to wager somebody one-on-one, it's just so you can remind them. It's not even about getting the daily breakfast for 4 days. It's every day you got to come and tell me you were wrong. That's what I think it's about.
Yeah, when I used to bet Chuck, I didn't care about the money. I just wanted to win. And he ended up – there was one football season. He just – I mean, he bankrupted me. It was bad.
Is there anything better than being right?
No.
There's nothing.
No.
No, there's nothing.
Like, well, being right is kind of, it's sometimes it's hard when you're right and everybody else is wrong, but they can't see that they're wrong.
Well, that is fair. No, you're right. Like, that is fair. Like, or like, yeah, like sometimes if you are on the opposite end, let's say what you and Toby just did was very casual. You know, it's like, oh, I think this, you think this, let's wager, friendly wager. But imagine if you'd been doing this for 6 months, like, and then you win. There's actually a little bit of winner's remorse because then you're standing around and you're like, oh, that dude's really pissed at me. Like, kind of like, was it really worth it? I'm right, but now all of a sudden we're all mad at each other. But I agree with Mark. I think it's Warriors. Warriors over Celtics. They're just too loaded. And I think it's going to be interesting to see offseason. Harden was falling off. I think that's just a physical thing, too. But his decline was precipitated by also some of these rule changes. I'm curious to see what they do about some of the defensive stuff that the Celtics are doing. The flopping's obvious, but even some of the physicality. I mean, that was the main thing Silver did when the Warriors kind of took over in 14-15. They opened the game up. It's shutting down again. They're not going to put up with that. So it'll be interesting to see how they do and what they react to this with all this kind of, you know, grabbing and defense, you know?
Oh, God. Grant Williams last night. They were up 19 points. Grant Williams was near the basket. It was after the play. A hand brushed his face, and he went down in horror. And he laid there. And then he got up and did that dumb Grant Williams, almost cartoon face, Like, he's straight out of Tom and Jerry, the way this guy performs after he gets hit. And that's the biggest problem with the Celtics is they don't need to do it. They're good enough that they don't need to do it, and especially when you're up 20 points. But he can't help himself.
I think they need to do it. I'm still not sold on them again. I was wrong. That's what you say. The best thing was right. I was the one that was the biggest one, the Bucks mega horn. I was wrong.
Yeah, I feel correct. Like I remember you at Bucks in 5.
Oh, for sure. And I was wrong. But that said, I'm not sitting here basically being like, there's some awesome team or like they just, no, the Bucks are missing Middleton. They couldn't adjust. It is what it is. Like, I underestimated that. So I was incorrect on that. That said, it's not like I have some kind of respect for the Celtics. But that said, it is kind of fun now going into the next year. Like, there's an actual rival. You know, like, there's a real rivalry going on between the Bucks and the Celtics. That's going to continue, especially when the Celtics don't win it all, because they'll still be on that track. That's where I think that closes up when you were having the debate earlier of, like, well, who do you cheer for, Celtics or Heat? The Heat knocked the Bucks out of the bubble, right? Like, that did suck at the time. But the Bucks then swept them and won the title. Whatever you think about Heat culture, like, it's not as personal. Bucks won their title and beat the Heat on the way. With the Celtics, it's like, man, they're such clowns. Like, they're such clowns with all that stuff. That's why it's just so hard to see them succeed, and I still don't think they will. But, yeah, Warriors in 5. They'll get their home game to close it out, right? Because they get home court, I think, right?
Yeah, they would have home court.
Yep, yep.
Yeah, they'll lose one in Boston so they can close it out in game 5, get that money.
Yeah, maybe we'll see on the court. You think he'll fly out there?
No, I would have flown out there if it was Bucks. I would have gone.
Yeah.
But I guess that's never going to happen. Bucks Warriors never going to happen.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, it will happen. We'll see. The Warriors
not
keep up
flying out there to watch Boston. I hate watching these guys on TV. I'm going to go watch them in person.
Yeah, but you said yourself, and I agreed, like, in a weird way, sometimes it's better to watch teams lose than even see your favorite team win. Wouldn't you love to have some of those nice prime seats your brother can probably hook you up with and just be screaming at good job, good game at Grant Williams after they lose the NBA title? Like, that would be pretty satisfying.
My brother can hook up, like, Kevon Looney's family with good prime seats. He hooks up me. He would get me, like, front row seats at Oracle in Oakland while they play in the Chase Center in San Francisco.
He'd give you those Jordan Love family seats.
Yeah. That's where I'd be sitting.
Oh, well.
Or I could go media. Why don't I just go media and get a decent seat? I'm probably better off going media.
You and your new travel buddy, Tim, you guys can go travel and go out there. Toby needs to hold back and keep the show under control.
Me and Tim Shea?
Would love to hear how that
works. I'll take Toby.
you having to babysit Tim on a plane. I would love to hear about that. So,
yeah. All right. See you, buddy.
Take care, buddy.
Spark guy. Nah, I'm just kidding, Tim. I'd love to travel with you.
Interesting.
We could travel together. Where do you want to go?
Oh, man. So many places.
where do I... Let me count the ways. Where do I begin? Sparky asked me yesterday, he's like, how can you root for the Heat in this series? And I said, I find it remarkably easy to do. And he says, I hate the Heat more than anything. And I agree with him. I hate the Heat. When I'm watching the game, I'm rooting for the Heat. As soon as they showed the fans last night, everyone's in their white pop collar, and they all, like, everybody in Miami somehow looks the exact same. They're all, like, 27 to 32 preppy boys. Like, okay. You know, Miami, you know, sometimes around big cities, you're going to get stopped on the street for, like, hey, can you spare a dime? Hey, can you? People in Miami are like, hey, bro, you spare some Bitcoin? You got Bitcoin? No, I don't have any, sir. I don't have any in my wallet. No, just QR code me, man. Oh, yeah, okay. Yeah, I don't like the team that beat us. If the Bucks lost to the Heat and then the Heat were playing the Celtics, I would be rooting for the Celtics. I don't want the team to beat us to ever have any joy. And Spark Guy's right. We beat the Heat last year. So, oh no, they beat us in the bubble. One, it didn't really count. Two, we swept them last year. We swept them. The All-NBA teams, we talked about those a little bit yesterday. Again, Giannis, unanimous. There were a couple other people that trickled in with votes. Donovan Mitchell had a few votes. Mikal Bridges had a vote, just one. Drew Holiday had a third-team vote. Desmond Bane had a third-team vote. Chris Middleton had a third-team vote. Another guy that had a third-team vote was Kyrie Irving. And that vote came from Jalen Rose. And so Stephen A., maybe you don't like First Take or this show or whatever. Nobody can do Stephen A.'s job like Stephen A.
No, he has the best reactions.
And so he grilled Jalen Rose yesterday before game five. And it was, at one point, the whole desk is laughing. It was like the first good moment the show's ever produced.
I want you to explain what in God's name made you think at any point that Kyrie Irving, who played 29 games this year,
okay,
missed 53 games.
Okay.
How in God's name is he a third team All-NBA? On any day, any hour, any minute of this season, how?
First off, I don't think you heard the part about I said that was a mistake.
I know.
That was a bad decision.
I asked how you make the bad decision.
Let me tell you how I made that. Because in my mind, this was a unique season, Greeny. And based on that unique season, when Kyrie Irving decided to play for whatever reason, he was as dominant as any player in the league. And he was one of the top 15 performers when he was in uniform.
Let me stop right there. I got him, y'all. See, Jalen, you're not getting away with this. And let me tell you why you're not getting away with it. First of all, nobody's ever questioned the greatness of Kyrie Irving as a talent. We know he's box office. He's that spectacular. Not only me, you were on the record stating his lack of availability, his unwillingness to take one for the team, to get vaccinated, to be held out because of the New York mandate, disqualified him from everything. And then behind our back, like a thief in the night, just slid in his vote for him. Amen. For him. He don't even get to be all of NBA G League after the way he disappeared for the whole daggone season.
That's fair.
You
That's
got
fair.
To be crazy.
That's fair. That's fair. I own it.
So he, got Jalen Rose pretty good there. What do you think the most outrageous offseason Bucks, like, rumor or
Damian Lillard
wishful thinking is going to be?
Damian Lillard.
Yeah, Damian Lillard's not coming here. But I, you know what I saw people talking about yesterday? I saw people talking about trying to get Kevin Durant to the Bucks. You know what the Bucks are going to look like next year? What they looked like 2 weeks ago. They're going to look pretty similar. Chris will be here. Take him out of your trade machines. Drew's going to be here. Take him out of your trade machines. They'll re-sign Pat. They'll probably re-sign Bobby. And they'll have to go into the luxury tax. They already paid 52 to the luxury tax. If they re-sign Portis and Connaughton to, like, reasonable contracts for them, they could be looking at $70 million plus. Well, I don't know. People are still mad about P.J. Tucker. You let P.J. Tucker go and then Bobby Portis go because of money? Oh, boy.
Yeah, I think people overrate a little bit of what P.J. Tucker was. I don't think you can let Pat Connaughton and Bobby Portis walk. If they choose one over the other, you know, I prefer they wouldn't. But if that's the case and they choose one over the other, all right, whatever. But they can't let both those guys walk again for money, especially coming off an NBA Finals run not that long ago. You've got to pay at some point. And so for me, I didn't see the obvious impact for a guy like a PJ Tucker because he just didn't give you anything on one end of the floor. And as much as you like to complain about guys on the offensive end not giving you anything on the defensive end, that's kind of how P.J. Tucker was. With Bobby Portis and Pat Connaughton, those guys play both sides of the floor, and they play big roles. And especially a guy like Bobby, who's the heart and soul of this team and gives them that energy that they need a lot of times off the bench, I kind of think you can't let Bobby walk. I forget who we were talking to. I think it was Rohan Kadi. We're talking on Rami's show the other day, and he thought that Pat Connaughton would be back and not Bobby Portis. I kind of would rather have it the other way around if you're going to do that.
Well, Pat's almost a shoo-in to be back, though.
Oh, for sure.
I mean, he said as much.
Well, and that's fine, but I think you got to bring back Bobby Portis.
Well, I agree. The one thing that the Bucks have not done a great job of is I look at the Warriors. I mean, for what the Warriors did, building that team, incredible. But now they're building like a second team on under their first team. They've got Steph Curry. That's the same guy. And then Klay Thompson. And then Draymond Green. They've got their guys that are going in the rafters. But then they also somehow draft. And now they had some years where they were bad, so it helped because they had high picks. But then they were able to draft these guys, bring them in. But Jordan Poole was a late-round pick. So they've got like, they've almost got like the varsity and the junior varsity.
Well, and that's
with the Warriors. We don't have a junior varsity because every time that we have a first-round pick, we have to trade it with a contract to get out of it.
They trade all their first-round picks. And, you know, some people, if they're going to make the argument, well, the Warriors stunk for a little bit, and they got James Wiseman, and he hasn't really played a role. So the Bucks would have an opportunity to maybe get someone. And that's, I think, where you struggle to see with the Bucks is, you know, do you want to go sign a veteran that you kind of know what they are? So you think of George Hill, Wesley Matthews, you know what you're getting in those guys. And essentially, you're not going to get any more than what you already know. Whereas you could maybe get a rookie here that maybe doesn't contribute right away, maybe he finds his way into the back end of a rotation here, 10th man, but he can grow into that role like Jordan Poole did, where he wasn't necessarily a focal point, and now he's become someone that the Warriors really need. That's why I kind of think they probably should make a draft pick at some point, and probably this year.
414-799-1250. Again, it is the Wendy's What's for Breakfast Hour. Stop by today. The Hot Honey Chicken Biscuit. Sweet! With a kick of heat. You can get that breakfast Baconator combo today with the side of Toby, which is unofficially the potato wedges. Score yourself some delicious food at Wendy's, a proud sponsor also of the Milwaukee Bucks. More on the Bucks, and hey, we are going to dive in to another excellent sports radio topic today. Ticket prices. More coming up.